I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. For Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Will you not revive us again, showing your love like before, pouring out your Spirit more and more. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Voice of Praise. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host for this weekly Bible teaching broadcast. If you're tuning in for the first time, I'm especially glad to have you along, and I hope and pray you'll keep listening right up to the end of the program. Think about the opening song the men sang, Revive Us Again. I suspect many of you listening would agree that the church in North America needs revival. According to the Barna Research Group, and I'm quoting, at least 3 out of 10 born-again adults say that cohabitation, homosexuality, or watching sexually explicit movies are all morally acceptable behaviors. 1/3 of those professing to be born again support the legalization of same-gender sexual relations. Among adults who have been married, born-again Christians and non-Christians have essentially the same probability of divorce. And that's the end of the quote. Those are just a few statistics on the current condition of the church. You see, there's a huge disconnect between what the Bible teaches and what many Christians believe and practice. Now, if we agree on the need for revival, the next logical question is, how can we experience it? We probably could go several directions with that question, but I believe the most basic answer is this. Revival must start with me and with you. You see, churches are made up of individual believers, so it's only as individual believers are revived that our churches will be revived. So what's the key to that? Well, I mentioned earlier that many professing Christians have a huge disconnect between what the Bible teaches and their personal behavior. Jesus has a clear message for them. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This verse, among others, shows us the importance of obedience and holy living. John Brown was a 19th century Scottish theologian, and he said this, "Holiness does not consist in mystic speculations, enthusiastic fervor, or uncommanded austerities. Now listen, it consists in thinking as God thinks and willing as God wills." I say amen. You know, friend, I'm convinced that loving obedience to the commands of our Heavenly Father, as revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures, is the key to revival in the church. For too long, we Christians, and I include myself in that group, have been content to look around at others and compare ourselves with them. That's something the Bible warns us not to do. But while we're comparing ourselves with others, we were forgetting about comparing ourselves to the standard that God has given us, the Holy Scripture. We need to get back to God's standard of measurement if we hope to have revival in the church today. We need to open our hearts to the penetrating gaze of the Holy Spirit, and He will reveal the need in our lives. Friend, I've made that my prayer, and I hope it's yours too. And lest you think that the news in Christianity is all negative, there are some very positive things happening. I know many people, and that includes some of you who are listening, who are deeply committed to living as close to the Word of God as possible. And because of your love for the Lord, your realization of who He is and what He's done for you, it's your desire to live all of life in a way that pleases Him. That's what will bring revival. And whether you realize it or not, your life is making an impact on others around you. So keep on keeping on. If you're just joining us now, this is The Voice of Hope, a program of Bible exposition designed to build up your hope in God and His Word. We're ready now for Dr. Yoder's teaching from 1 Peter. But before we get to that, let's pause to pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we too often look around and compare ourselves with others instead of comparing our obedience with your word. And so as Dr. Yoder leads our study in the word today, help us to see clearly the standard you've set. Grant to us both the desire and the power to understand, apply, and practice the truth you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, friend, the function of the human brain baffles the best minds. Oh, the scientists can weigh it. It can be examined. It can be analyzed to a certain degree. But its intricate functions escape the researcher. They say our brain operates by electrical impulses. But what the relation is of the mind to the brain, no one seems to know. We have been endowed with a mind superior to every other mortal creature. I have the impression, friend, that that's a part of our divine nature. We are like God because we can think, we can reason. But you know, it was to the mind that Satan appealed to Eve. The ability to communicate with language and talk was the endowment that God gave to the first pair. And that is where Satan caught them up. I want you to listen as I read 1 Peter 1:13-21. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, praise the Lord. From Peter's words, I construct several important guidelines which will help you to gird up your mind. First, concentrate on the mandate of holiness. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, the mind is a window of the soul. The mind is a seat of reason and decision-making. It grapples with the problems of what and comes to conclusions. Therefore, he said, gird up the loins of your mind. To do this, we must concentrate on the mandate of holiness. And then there's the will. That is the door to choices. He said, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he further said, as obedient children, there is the will. It is the door to choices, I say. The will is the seat of action which weighs options. It answers the question of how. The will answers the question of how or which. And then there is the emotion, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. God has called you, and he is holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now the emotion comes in. The emotions are the walls of confinement. They hold us in or release us at times. Emotions are the seat of motive, and they answer the question, why? We are to model God because we were created in his image, so we are to be like him. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So here is our first guideline, to gird up your mind. Concentrate on the mandate of holiness. The second guideline is, consider the magnitude of redemption. Oh, I want you to notice, God judges impartially, that is, without respect of persons, the Apostle Peter says. And furthermore, he said that we are only here sojourning. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Life, you know, is just a passing moment, friend. We're on the way to a permanent place. Where we will go depends on what we do now. We must do something definite now. You can't coast along because the judgment of God is impartial. Then think of the magnitude of the redemption. He judges every man according to his work. Oh, how futile self-effort is. How many times people think they can buy their way with silver and gold, or they can create their own objects of worship and make it. No, that is futile self-effort. Silver and gold are useless because they are of earth and time. The soul of man is not of earth and time, only the body. But here you are, people attempting to make their case sure for heaven by silver and gold. But that's only mortal for mortal, and that won't work. The Apostle Peter tells us this in no uncertain terms. Consider the magnitude of redemption, the precious blood of Christ. Do you see it? Verse 19. That's the magnitude of redemption. It's the only price. It's the only way. It's the only possible way. Now, reflect on this. The higher the cost, the greater the value. And God sent His own beloved Son, His own dear Son, to be our Savior. And He was without sin. He was a perfect lamb. He was without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Christ. Oh, friend, I want you to consider the magnitude of redemption. That will be a guideline to gird up your mind. The third guideline is, contemplate the mystery of foreordination. This baffles my mind, friend, the way Peter brings it to us in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before the founding of the cosmos, before the founding of the cosmos, God knew He was going to send Jesus Christ, His own beloved Son, to be our Savior. Listen to what Albert Barnes tells us in his commentary on 1 Peter, and I quote him. The atonement was not an afterthought on the part of God. It entered into His plan when He made the world and was revolved in His purposes from eternity. It was not a device to supply a defect in the system. That is, it was not adopted because the system did not work well or because God had been disappointed. It was arranged before man was created and when none but God could know whether he would stand or fall. End of quotation. Do you understand? No, you don't understand. I don't either. But I am contemplating the mystery of the foreordination before the foundation of the world that is now made manifest. Now made manifest, revealed. You know something? God deals in time, although He is unaffected by time. Peter tells us further on in this epistle that 1,000 years are as 1 day, and 1 day is 1,000 years with the Lord. But when He deals with human needs, He deals in terms of time, and it is manifested now. It is revealed now to us. In these last times, it is for us who believe in God. So there is hope for the future, and it is based on the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. Look at the last clause in verse 21. That raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Contemplate the mystery of foreordination. Marvelous, isn't it? Mind-boggling, isn't it? It goes far beyond our human perception. But what is even more glorious is, His plan is for individuals like you and me. Because if we believe in God, if we believe in the precious blood of Christ, God's only beloved Son, we can have hope. We can have faith. We can gird up our minds. Therefore, I tell you, gird up your mind. Tie up the loose ends. Don't leave anything frazzled out there. Do it by concentrating on the mandate of holiness, by considering the magnitude of redemption, and by contemplating the mystery of foreordination. Let us pray. Mighty God, everlasting Father, merciful Redeemer, we glorify Thee. We ascribe the glory due unto Thy name. O God, Thou art wonderful, wonderfully compassionate, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. And we thank Thee, O God, we praise Thee. We ask thee, Lord, to remember us, to look down upon us now, my friend and me, and help us, I pray, to gird up the loins of our minds by concentrating on holiness, by considering our redemption, by contemplating thy foreordination. O Lord, marvelous art thou, and teach us, I pray, in the precious name of thy dear beloved Son, the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Be ye holy, holy, for the Lord God Almighty is holy. Be ye holy, holy, for holy, holy is the Lord. We are his people, his holy nation, called out of darkness to light. We are his building, his holy temple. We're living by faith, not by sight. So be holy, be holy, holy, for holy, holy is the Lord.
Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for giving us those guidelines from the scripture to help us stay focused on what's really important in life, our eternal salvation. You know, friend, salvation has several aspects. It has the past, the present, and the future. The Bible plainly teaches us that God planned for our salvation before he created the world. And if you've already accepted that plan, your own salvation has a past tense. You can look back to the day when you made the decision to surrender your life to the control of Christ. And then your salvation has a present aspect as well. The reality of your salvation is being worked out every day in your life. At least it should be. That's what God wants. It's not a static event that happened a long time ago and has no influence on how you live today. If that's how you understand salvation, as just an event from the past, then I question whether you're genuinely born again. And then finally, your salvation has a future aspect. Someday, and the signs around us prove it could be soon, all genuine believers will be ushered into the presence of the Heavenly Father. Jesus made it clear to us in his word that how we understand and practice the present reality of our salvation will have a direct impact on the future aspect. So I ask, how is it with you? Have you experienced the salvation God offers? Have you confessed that you're a sinner without any means of making yourself acceptable to God? Have you acknowledged the blood of Christ as the only possible way to receive cleansing from your sin? Have you asked Christ to apply that blood for your personal salvation and cleansing? If you have, then the teaching Dr. Yoder gave today makes sense to you. But if you don't know or understand what it means to have your sins forgiven and God's Holy Spirit take control of your life, then what Dr. Yoder shared will not make sense to you. But I have good news. Your life can be transformed today, right now, if you're willing to call upon Jesus for salvation. Now, if you have any questions about how you too can become a follower of Jesus, we'd be happy to answer those questions, and we'd count it a privilege to pray for you as well. There's no greater joy for followers of Jesus than to see others come to know and follow Him too. So let us know if you're accepting Jesus today, or if you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus. Just contact us and let us know. There are several ways you can do that. You can send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can call our office toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or finally, you may write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you'd like a copy of this teaching, I'm happy to inform you that we recently had this whole series printed in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. We'd be happy to mail a copy to you when you send a donation of any amount. Now, once again, I urge you to write and share your prayer request or your testimony of salvation. Send it by email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or pick up your phone and call our office toll-free at 866-960-0292. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. When you send your gift, don't forget to ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Thanks for tuning in to the Voice of Hope today. I hope you'll come back next week. Lord willing, Dr. Yoder will challenge us again with another message from 1 Peter. So you plan to join me. And until then,
I searched throughout the world and found no answers, for I ignored the one who is the truth. I thought that wealth and status brought fulfillment, but I found this world's promises untrue. I'm looking up for the things that really matter. I will not look to the things that pass away. My hope is fixed upon eternal treasures, so I'll just keep on looking up each day. So I'll just keep on looking up each day.
The world is still demanding my attention, but I don't see its glitter anymore. A higher place is giving my life purpose. Now I find myself looking to the Lord. I'm looking up for the things